I worked this place near Big Timber, Montana. In the blink of an eye, there's fire everywhere. And then, charging out of these flames, comes this bear on fire. It was the most beautiful and terrible thing I've ever seen.
I heard you guys had some slots available.
What are you doing here?
I just had a daughter, and I just really want to give her what I never had. If you give me a chance, I'm going to let you down.
You know the difference between type 2 crew and hot shots?
Yes, sir. Hot shots are on the front line, and they get to engage the fire directly.
You guys are type 2, so why don't you do what you do best? Stay in the back and mop up our shit.
Until we're certified, my crew won't even be able to set foot on the line.
Only the brave, based on the GQ article titled No Exit, which I wish the movie would have been called that, actually. It's actually a better title for exactly what this is. It really is No Exit for this. And I guess when you get these based on true story moments, there really is no spoilers to be told because we all know the real life situation here. This takes place in Prescott, Arizona, and is based off these firefighters who literally are like a brotherhood. It's just like any other military element or Navy SEALs or anything like that. You know, when you got someone protecting your back and your line or whatever, you got no choice but to be that person's brother and stuff. So that's mainly what this movie is about, and it's about how they're really just trying to stay as a brotherhood to get certified as official firefighters for this their town, certified for their town, if you will, because they don't have a certified firefighter team for their town here to handle the hot shots, as the firefighter term likes to call them, to handle certain incidents that may occur and may happen in their forest area, if you want to. So once they do that, they basically are just trying to stop the fires here, and that's really what the plot synopsis is all about here. This is written, directed by Joseph Kaczynski, guy who did Tron Legacy, which I have a love-hate feeling for that movie. That movie is gorgeous. The sound, the score is beautiful. I mean, everything about it is just amazing. And halfway somewhere in that film, it's almost like this guy said, let's suck the fun out of this, and let's make it a boring pile of shit. Then you get to Oblivion, same thing. Well, I wouldn't even say the same thing. I thought Oblivion was a little bit better. But Oblivion, actually, funny enough, I have both of these on Blu-ray too, and not for the right reasons either. I go back and watch that Tron Legacy movie every now and then and go like, this is where you fucked up right here. Yep, and you fix this right here. This fucks up. Yeah. Oblivion was another film of his which looked beautiful. That score by M83 is amazing. The look of the film is just gorgeous. I thought Tom Cruise was great in it. I think it's got a unique story. And then they fucked up in some aspect when they added this double of Tom, and I was like, okay. I still enjoy the film, but I definitely recognize the problems that occur with the film there. Now, I think he's doing the Maverick, the Top Gun sequel, if I'm not mistaken here. So now he did this, Only the Brave. Now, I'm probably starting to see a pattern with this guy where he knows how to get shots looking really good. He knows how to put some elements of a piece of nugget in there and heart, but he's just not made, or he just doesn't know how to keep a film flowing, if you will, whatever. Now, that's not to say that I was bored in the movie or anything like that, but there is a long extended hour of them building their camaraderie together. And I'm like, if I have to throw out a complaint in this movie, is it's too fucking long. 2 hours and what's the time length on this thing? Hold on, I want to look this up. I think it's 2 hours and 14 minutes. I could be wrong, though. 2 hours and 13 minutes. I think you could have easily shaved off that 13 minutes right there. Maybe an extra 5 minutes, too. Go ahead and throw in 17 minutes. Hell, maybe even 20. I'll give 20 minutes. You could take off 20 minutes of this film here. It'd keep it under 2 hours, and I think it'd be the same damn film. You wouldn't be missing anything here. If I have to give those negatives out, it's a little cliched in some parts. It does follow the simple patterns of those films we usually see with their military ones or anything like that. Hell, there's even a towards the end of the movie there where things really get intense, where even Josh Brolin's character even makes the mistake of, you know, well, this is my last year as, what do they call it again? Forgot. Basically, when you're the captain of the team that you're leading. He said this is his last year as the captain of this team. Forgot there's a name for it, but I can't remember what it was. And I was just looking at that and going like, oh, he's dying. Oh, he's dying. He's definitely dying. And sure enough, well, he died. So I was like, yeah, there's those moments in there as well, too. Well, let's go ahead and give it the positives, because this makes it sound like I'm hating on the film. Actually, I think this is this guy's, Krasinski's, let's say Krasinski, his best film. To date, at least, or whatever. You got Josh Brolin playing Eric Marsh. Got Miles Teller playing Brendan Donoff. I'm going to go. That's why they call him Donut. Jeff Bridges plays Dwayne Steinbrink in here. He's kind of the, I guess he kind of, I don't know what his job title is actually, whatever. I guess he's kind of the branch leader of the firefighter squad of this county, if you will. He kind of started the whole thing. Got Jennifer Connelly in here. She plays Amanda Marsh. She's the wife of Josh Brolin. Really loved what she did in here. Taylor Kitsch is in here. Christopher McKenzie, the failure himself. James Bashdale's in here. Jesse Steed. That's probably really the only names that's probably much the only names here. So what I like about this movie is these guys all have great chemistry together. They work really well with each other. I mean, I'm complaining about that long build up to show that these guys are a family and stuff here. But it really does mean something towards the end of the film, because I'm going to go ahead and be front, whatever. End of this film actually shed a tear down my eye, whatever. I don't know what it was, but I was like, what the fuck? I was like, God damn, I'm getting soft. I said, shit, I am getting soft. As hell, I said, this motherfucking movie right here actually made me cry. It's actually really impactful, too. And the reason why it's so, not mainly because of what's going on or anything like that, or because I know that this happened in real life and stuff. That probably does play an aspect in it and stuff. Just the way the performances were given in this towards this last act of the film. That third act is fucking great, I gotta say. It's pretty damn good here. I mean, I personally feel like that third act could have been the whole movie. Matter of fact, I say that third act should have been the whole movie. Had that third act been the whole entire movie, I would have been like, Sony, go ahead and market this right away, right now, as your film for this year's Oscar run here. Because I know they got like either three or four films that they're probably looking to consider which one here. And I would have threw it out 100% had this film been nothing but that third act. Like straightforward, the building up to that or anything like that, then this would have been for sure their Oscar nomination right here. Didn't get that though. And not only that, I think that this would have been much more of a film that I could have been like, oh man, you gotta see this film. It's intense as hell. That last third act was pretty damn intense here. And I think that's another one of the problems I may have with the film, is it doesn't have enough of that in the film, especially when they goat the fire, if you will, by saying, you know, you got Josh Brolin talking to the damn clouds and shit when he sees the smoke, talking about, you want a piece of me, you come get it then. You know, he got him pretty much goating the fire here. Had there been more shots like that, but really what you see is just them doing their job, and I'm sure they're going to throw some people off guard, because they originally what they're doing, it really is they're fighting fire with fire and letting it cancel each other out, which is probably an interesting tactician there. Hell, I didn't even learn that, and I was in a junior firefighter class or whatever. I mean, I didn't know if people know this, but I trained pretty much to be a firefighter, and it was one of my first major life lessons in life, where I just said, fuck your dreams, because apparently that just doesn't happen. I trained my ass off, people. I was in the best shape of my life. That was before I became an alcoholic, actually. And only to keep getting denied every goddamn year and stuff like that. I even went to a burning building and did a training seminar with this, okay? That's how much dedicated to this shit I was and stuff. And now, just didn't work out. And here I am now. How many years later? A couple of years later, talking about movies. Talking shit about movies, at least. Ah, such a step up, right? Right? Nah. Either way, though, I'd say I'd get back into it, but I'm too old at this point now to even consider that. But I know some of the training materials, and even some of this stuff was new to me. But I think that it would have definitely grabbed a wider audience with this movie had it had a lot of that intensity just straight out throughout the film. And probably would have been able to withstand its 2 hour and 13 minute run here. But because of that, I feel like there's going to be some people that's either going to find this boring or just going to be like, you know, speed it up or something to get to the action, if you will. Because most of the fire incidents here, there never was one up until that last third act where I was just like, oh, these guys are in danger. You never really feel that these guys are in danger at all throughout the whole film. They seem like they got things pretty under control here. There was that one incident where Josh Brolin pulled Miles Teller out of this fire hole when he fell down and stuff like that. But other than that, that was about it. I will say that Miles Teller, though, you know, he's really grown up as an actor. He used to be that cocky, run his mouth dipshit, playboy type deal in his films. Now he really is toned down in this film and trying to prove, at least trying to show people, hey, I can act. I'm a very good dramatic actor. He starts off as a junkie in this film, piece of shit. You know, he's just a junkie. He's straight up smoking meth and all that stuff. And only to find out that he got that. And he looked like crap, too, by the way. He looked like Jackie Chan in The Foreigner. All that extra makeup on. Yeah, he really looks like a junkie, a druggie. He finds out that he's got this girl he messed around with pregnant. Beautiful girl, too. I wish. Who was that? Ah, man. Look her up. She is fine as hell. I don't know why you wouldn't want her as a baby mama. Cause I'm like, shit. you might want to cash in. I mean, well, definitely. You know what? Now that I take that back, he didn't really disown her either or whatever. She just didn't want him because he was such a piece of shit and not really doing anything with his life here. He gets caught for stealing a portable TV out of a Jeep. Cops are like right across the street. They looking like, look at this jackass. I love the look on their face. They just like, you can't be that fucking stupid now. Seriously. Oh, you are. Oh, okay. And they got him. He gets out, and his mom pretty much says, no, here's some money. Well, I'm coming back home at 7 o'clock. You got to get the hell up out of here. So he, once the daughter is born, or he finds out she's pregnant, the daughter is born, he realizes, I got to get my shit together. You know, I gotta become a better human being. You know, I got to get off the drugs and all that stuff. So he tries out to be part of Josh Brolin's team, and like, he sucks on his first day. Like, there's a trainee seminar or whatever, and he there's a lot of spots open, and he just basically sucks. And they pretty much know that this is a life or death job right here. This ain't no 9 to 5, sit behind a desk, bored at your fucking mind or whatever, working on a goddamn movie. I'm sorry, am I getting a little personal? Okay, never. this is an adrenaline kicker. This is straight up in your face. Talking run-of-the-mill, you better know your shit. Look out for your brothers and stuff like that. And you're pretty much a hero, damn near, whatever. And trust me, this movie will remind you of that every chance that they can get here. Because, God damn it, I'll tell you, man, these guys really do know they shit. At least they like to make it seem like they do. Because, especially Josh Brolin, because they're not certified yet, so they got to take shit from the real hotshots or whatever and stuff. And he's giving them layout that you should do this. And when they don't follow, because they're hotshots, they're like, we ain't listening to you guys. You guys are second level here or whatever. Next, you know, people's houses are on fire and shit. And you're just like, you know, Josh Brolin's really trying to push this to be certified because then he can have some power to be like, look, I know my shit and I could save a lot more homes than I want to be. He's addicted to this shit, too. That was the thing about this film here. And, it made his story arc that he had here, him with his wife, Jennifer Connelly, made it really good and understandable, too, on both aspects there. Because I wouldn't say I was in similar situations, but a lot of my relationship always ends with job or me. And I go like, oh, well, let me get the door for you then. Because I worked a little too hard to get where I am now to just throw that away for you. So, shit. let me get that door for you, girl. You're going to come back now. Oh, yeah, okay. That's a middle finger right there. All right, cool. But here we are.
with what's his name? Got Miles Teller here. You know, he works his way up, earns his way, and Josh Brolin, he sees a little of him in here, and he's giving him a chance, basically. Josh Brolin has this thing where he's 40-something in the movie, 43, I believe, and he's obsessed with this. This is his life. This is what he's worked. They spent 4 years busting their ass, OT, doing out on the field, doing the small-time shit, grungy shit, whatever it is he's got to get done. He's been doing it 4 years, putting up with it so he can get certified. Jennifer Connelly right here, she runs a horse ranch where she's pretty much, I don't really know what her job title is called or anything like that, but she pretty much goes out and rescue horses, if you will. It's kind of like when you save animals or dogs and stuff like that. That's what she does for horses and stuff. There was this one horse in here. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a huge animal person. I mean, I don't hate them or anything like that, whatever. I like animals or whatever. But I'm not like some fucking people that dresses them up or fucking kissing on them and shit. Like, fuck that. You ain't kissing me, okay? You're not touching me. Or were they jumping up on you and scratching the shit out of you? And you're like, oh, he's just playing. Oh, he's not fucking playing my goddamn leg. But this horse, it was a beautiful looking horse, too. They whipped this horse like he was in 12 Years a Slave or something. It had, like, whip marks on it. Its face had carved initials in it and shit. I was like, what kind of sick fuck would do this or whatever? And I was like, you need to find that motherfucker and you need to hang him up right now and whip his ass with that whip or something. That should have been a side story. Jennifer Connelly looking for these fuckers that did this to this horse. That horse just looked so brutalized. Whatever. And that horse looked majestic, too. I'm not gonna lie, it was a beautiful looking horse. I felt bad for that horse. I wanted to get a goddamn rifle and go look for these fucking people myself, whatever, and become the punisher of horses and shit. That's how bad this horse looked as far as being abused. But her whole thing is, you know, all the other firefighters, they always have these get-togethers and stuff. They, you know, Brotherhood and the Wives always say, you know, be thankful you don't have kids. They say that shit multiple times to her. And I can only imagine, that shit does get old after a while. It's like, okay, heard you the first time, you know, it's bad enough that I don't have my husband, here it is. But, you know, I don't have a kid either like the rest of y'all, so I don't really have anything of him to attach myself to other than himself here. And it's like, keep rubbing in. She wants to start a family. She needs him to pretty much quit this job to spend more time with her. She wants 100% of his time and stuff like that, but he's given about 80% to this job and 20% to her, and that's pretty much how it's working out. And you know, this is his career, and they have there's a beautiful sequence in here with him and Jeff Bridges on the porch patio after Josh Brolin and Jennifer Connelly had an argument here, and he pretty much walked where he said, you're gonna have to choose between what can you live for in life and what can you not live for in life, whatever. And he's like, fuck, it's her. So I have to dedicate my time to it. Man, the signs are all here, because right after this sequence here, he goes and tackles the biggest fire ever, and that's when he dies and stuff here. But some great dialogue exchange between each other. I will say most of the movie at the beginning, though, it's like the ultimate bro movie and shit. I mean, they're opening, when they get certified, they're opening fucking Budweiser. That's the first fucking mistake of this goddamn film. Why did I have to look at a Budweiser bottle? But Bud Light is Transformers. Budweiser is the American drink. Apparently, that's what I kind of figured. That's why I was trying to remember this, because I couldn't keep up with them. I just know they both taste like shit. So, and they're opening it up with chainsaws and shit like that that they use to cut down trees. And they're constantly at a bar playing country music. They're playing pranks on each other and stuff like that. I mean, it's like a college fraternity for frat boys and stuff. I'm kind of shocked there was no Spanish people in here, because you always hear about Spanish people in fucking Arizona and stuff. I'm not shocked that there wasn't black people in here. So if anybody wants to say, oh, this is a straight up full white, I'm not shocked. This is fucking Arizona. What black band do you live out that lives out in that bullshit ass state? Sorry, Arizona. You and your communist state or whatever has got you going on there. Fuck Jan Brewery. I hate that state. As much Cody hates New York, reasonably so. Well, my Arizona is like his New York then. I hate that state for a passion. I mean, so I'm not shocked by the lack of diversity in this cast here, because I'm putting that in quotes, by the way, too, because, well, look what it is. It's Arizona. What do you expect? The only reason why I say not too many Spanish people, because I always hear fucking Spanish people want to go live down there. I'm like, why? they constantly harass you guys. Like, what's wrong with you and stuff? But I guess the homes are cheaper, whatever it may be. I mean, maybe they like being in a fucking desert in the middle of nowhere, I guess. No, the camaraderie there is good, man. They have some great chemistry. Josh Brolin and Miles Teller, man, they work really well with each other. Josh Brolin got chemistry with damn near everybody in this film here. Jennifer Connelly is great, especially for a role where you don't really expect much out of. You think it's going to be a small role where she's just a nagging wife, but you completely agree with her side, her view of points here and stuff like that. And you understand Josh Brolin, too. I think that's what makes them such an interesting dynamic here. It's just not arguing for the sake of arguing or whatever. They're both just, they're tired, they're frustrated. They've been doing this for so long, and no, she has to sit at home basically and pretty much wait. Is he gonna die or not? You know, like it's almost like, you know, you don't know what may happen. He's got to call late night. If he don't call late night or whatever when he gets off, then it's like, oh, something's happening. I gotta worry and stuff like that. You know, nobody. No spouse wants to live their life worrying about if their significant other or not is gonna come home or not because of their job is too dangerous or whatnot here. I really wish they would have added a little bit more intensity to the job, though, towards the beginning. It's kind of like the, well, I ain't gonna say like the DCEU, because that'd be a fucking insult, to be honest. But in some aspects where it's always, they're always talking about how dangerous it is, but they're not really showing us. It just seems like basic routines and stuff like that until you get to that last third act where Miles, I mean, damn, man, they put Miles Teller on lookout, right? And, you know, he's getting himself cleaned up or whatever. He's damn near one of the boys and all that. Taylor Kitsch is actually kind of interesting in the film because he's actually fun. Actually, he looks like he got a personality. Now, granted, he's a man whore. Why wouldn't even say he's a man whore or whatever, stuff like that, because he only was fucking this one girl and stuff like that. But he's a pretty good guy in here and stuff, especially towards the end. But kind of a piece of shit at the beginning, only for him to learn brotherhood with Miles Teller here. And they work well with each other. But they got Miles Teller on lookout because he's got a bad leg because he got bit by a rattlesnake. So they're like, why don't you go be on lookout? We're going to go clear this field up here and draw a line. So when that fire spreads over here, we can handle it. Miles Teller gets up on that rock, and they got some badass shots of this. The cinematography looks great here. Some badass aerial shots of the fire and stuff. Looks really good. I thought these shots looked actually perfect. They're probably my second best looking cinematography shots of the year that I can think of. That still hands down go to Blade Runner, without a doubt. But this is like eyeballing a close second because these shots of the fire looked really damn good. Before I get into those two, I also want to say the movie opens up with this shot of this bear on fire, and it looks like it's not even a real bear. It just looks like a silhouette of fire of a bear. It looks kind of stupid as fuck, actually. And that opens the film, and I was like, okay, that, wow, that's a little much right there. And they did it two more times in the film, and I'm sitting there. Well, the second time they did it, but at least by the time they did it the third time, Josh Brolin told this story to Jeff Bridges, how he saw this bear on fire running towards them, but just it was in so much pain, it just kept going past them. And he said it was like one of the most beautiful, disgusting things he'd ever seen. And I think that was like his calling, that he knew he wanted to do this job to help these animals, help the people and stuff like that, pretty much be a hero, pretty much what dedicated him to this job. It was a really well done speech. I really wish they didn't show this fucking bear on fire, though. Maybe like a dream sequence, that would have been fine. But they really just cut to these shots of this, and it looks like the stupidest, cheesiest shit you possibly could see. I was just like, look, all three times, too, even after I understood it as well, once they told the story, and I was like, this still looks like shit. I don't even know why he's showing this. They did so show some deer skulls and bones and shit, too. It was a really quick shot, and they really did show that. I was like, oh, my God, dude. You see the deer running away from the fire. They got some great shots of that, too, as well. So get back on this third act here. We get to Miles Teller. He's like, oh, fuck this. This fire is getting... That fire was moving. Like, it was a slave owner trying to hunt down some Negroes. That fire was moving like at a... I don't be around fire a lot. Like I said, I did these training classes, but the buildings were already on fire. So, it's like... Ain't like it was, like, warming up in one area and then just, phew, went all over the place. It was already on fire. You gotta run in the bitch when it's on fire. I have never seen fire in a movie or in real life move as fast as this did. It scared the shit out of me. It was like water. It was like trying to outrun water. It was like trying to outrun an earthquake or something like that. It was terrifying or whatever. And I really wish the movie would have had more of that in it. Would have sold this for it without a shadow of a doubt here. Miles Teller manages to escape. Someone, one of the other fighters in the that gave him a ride up to the hill comes and gets him out. And Josh Brolin and them, his team, they're trying to get word. They're like, this fire is really spreading. We're the only ones that's close enough. We got to start digging the trenches and see if we can take this out or ourselves and stuff. And sure enough, man, they try to make it up that mountain or whatever. And, man, that fire got closer and closer. It got to this area where they didn't want it to get to, but they tried to dig as many trenches as they could. And then once it got closer, they got these... oh, my man, I'm forgetting a lot of the names. I'd have to reread my book for these firefighter things, or I forgot the terminology and everything for this. But they got these blankets or whatever. They're pretty much fireproof. Well, I don't know what the degrees is on that fireproof here, because it really wasn't fireproof here. They got these blankets, and Miles Teller is cutting back to him. He's sitting in a van on ground zero. He's clean or whatever. He's sitting there. He's pacing back and forth, man, with his, you can tell in his mind. He's devastated. He's like, they're not going to make it out of this. He already knows, man. And it just sees these guys under these blankets crying, hollering, screaming. And my God, they'd explain what this sound like at the beginning of the movie. You really do feel it when they're under these blankets. You feel what they, what he does, what Josh Brolin described at the beginning of this movie. He's just like, I'd be fucking terrified. I would be terrified. Fire finally settles out. All you hear on the radio is, we found them, 19 dead. I was like, holy shit. And Miles Teller, emotional as hell, beating on the chair seats and stuff like that, taking his helmet and smashing it into the wall. I mean, this was some powerful stuff right here. I was like, damn. And I'm not going to lie, Jennifer Connelly and all them, she gets a phone call. And you see a shot of her horses, and all you hear is, see the house. And you just hear this loud scream in the background. She comes outside, falls on her knees, breaks down crying. She's in the back of Jeff Bridges' car. He gets a phone call as well as they're driving to the gymnasium where all the other firefighter parents are going to be and stuff to find out some kind of news update, because apparently there's one alive. There's one alive, and everybody's waiting to see who it is. This was, now this, I love this sequence right here. Why I loved it too, we'll get into it a little bit. Jeff Bridges tells there's only one alive. Well, he gets told there's only one alive, and he even starts to break down and just like, God damn. I mean, Jeff Bridges has got that constant tobacco in his mouth too. So you see that chin sticking out farther than his goddamn lips or whatever and stuff. So, you know, but you could tell he's still acting his ass off. When they get to that gymnasium, Miles Teller, they're like, we're going to take you home. He's like, no, I want to go to the gymnasium. And they're trying to tell him it's not a good idea. And even I'm trying to like, why is it not a good idea? And then when he got there, I was like, oh, that's why. You clearly see why it's not a good idea. Because all these wives and children are there, and they don't know who's that one, who's alive, whatever. They're just praying to God it's their husband. And when they see this dude show up, they're like, they start all breaking down, crying, and the look on these faces of these wives. Even James Badge Dale's wife, Jesse Steed's wife in here. I don't know who that actress was played by, but she had the biggest reaction, mainly because she was just like, tell me if my goddamn husband alive or not, whatever. And he walked through the door or whatever, and she looks, the look on her face, she was devastated, and you couldn't help but put a tear to your eye right there. It's like, oh, God. And the reason why I say it's pretty obvious why he shouldn't have been there is because all these wives, they're still clinging to a little inch of hope here. And when he shows up, that hope is gone now. And it was probably one of the most devastating scenes I saw in the movie, was that sequence alone, even more so than the death sequences there. And Miles Teller, he runs out of the gymnasium himself, and he starts crying. He's on his knees on the ground or whatever, and he's saying, I wasn't good enough. That should have been me. I shouldn't have been the one to survive. I'm a piece of shit. You know, all these things he's talking about. Jennifer Connelly comes out, and she says, this is... I forgot what her dialogue line was, but she's saying, this is not your fault, whatever. Don't you do this to yourself, whatever. They, respect their wishes and all this great stuff. Whatever. I can't remember the exact same dialogue. It's a beautiful moment though here. And then the movie cuts to a sequence of Miles Teller taking his daughter after, I think it was, they say 3 years. I forgot now. 3 years passes by. He takes her to this big ass tree where they put out their famous photo of them doing the freaking cheerleader statue of sitting on top of each other and thing. And the reason why he took them there is because people made a memorial, if you will, to all the dead firefighters that died in that incident there, and they had their photos all over this tree, and it was a beautiful moment right here. It was gorgeous. It was a nice sequence too. The cinematography was great. The music was just playing right. And then the movie cuts off, and this is one of my favorite aspects of watching these based on true story films is you get to see what the real life people be like, look like. And I gotta tell you, I think Sony just hired these people just based on the fact, not because they could act, but based on the fact that they look just like the real life people. I was looking at this, and there's probably like one that I thought said, I don't look like him. But everybody else looked exactly like their counterpart. I was like, well, damn. I said, is this even... I said, you sure these guys wasn't real firefighters? Like, Josh Brolin looks just like Eric Marsh. It was pretty goddamn outstanding, I gotta say. Like, the whole cast looks like the real life people. I was like, that's impossible. There's no way in hell. This is a big cast, you know. And I think it was 19 firefighters that died that day. To have that many that look like the same people, it's pretty incredible. You see, they're putting their ages up. You're seeing 21. I think it was usually the 21s through 25. And then you had, like, maybe some 30, two 30s in there or whatever. And then, you obviously, Josh Brolin's character is the big, the oldest, which is 43 and stuff. And it was, not gonna lie, I had some sniffles there or whatever and stuff. And I was just like, oh, man, how did this movie get to me? I mean, that's just how good that third act was. That third act was just powerful right there. I really wish the whole movie could have been like that. But, you know, hey, you get what you got here. But that said, I don't know if I could really recommend the movie, saying you need to go see this. If you want to learn some interesting firefighter techniques, then go all by means here. I think some people will be put off a little bit by the beginning of the movie here because it's just a lot of them just broing it out, if you will. Just, you know, really legitimately broing it out, like frat boy dorm room style, too. It really doesn't pick up to that last 30 minutes, which is a damn shame. There's some nuggets in there between Jennifer Connelly's character and Josh Brolin's character there, especially about the whole husband-wife career versus me type deal and wanting to have a family here. But I really wish they would have went into that a little bit more, too. You know, maybe spend a little bit more time on that than they did with this. But I kind of understand where they were coming from with the whole camaraderie thing here. And clearly it works because I'm tearing up in the theater, so it must be something here. They don't really spend a lot of detail with all the damn firefighters, especially because it's 19 of them. You get your key bits here, which is the Miles Teller and Josh Brolin. James Badge Dale, not so much or whatever, but you just kind of know he's just a family man. He's just a right-hand man, but no backstory on him. Taylor Kitsch's character, you just kind of get types of him. You don't really get a background detail of him neither or whatever and stuff. So that might be another hurting point for this, but I enjoyed it for what it was. I'd probably give this a low see it. Nothing I would rush out to see it again. It's good for what it is, but nothing too fantastic. A lot of respect here shown for Fire Out. You might even walk out of this with a different thought process about firefighters as well, how much of a hero they really are to play a part in what goes on here in everyday life, especially with all the fires that are breaking out here. Hell, we just had one here in my city of Long Beach, last weekend, right? Yeah, last weekend, this past weekend that just passed, yeah. So I'd give a low see it, mainly because of that third act and because of the performances in here are so powerful. It was teetering on a high rating in the rented area, but the performances are just really good, and I think that's really what sells it as well, too, so I'll give this a low see it.
Doing something that's never been done before takes time.
It's not easy sharing a man with a fire.
I want you all to breathe in this beautiful vista, because once you're hot shots, you're never going to be able to look out into the world. See that pure beauty again. Be prouder of his boys than I am of you guys.